This is KCUR 89.3. Cooperative businesses, no matter their size or focus, must share their profits with the members who own and run them. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer says agricultural co-ops have grown into diverse, multi-million dollar companies that are investing in rural areas.
All credit unions are co-ops. So are many local grocery stores. These days, some retirement communities are too. That means members make decisions about how to expand the business, where to build a new branch, or when to buy out a competitor. Iowa State University ag economist Carrie Jacobs says farmers started forming co-ops nearly a century ago to get better prices. They pooled their resources, put up storage bins, and gained leverage with buyers.
Cooperatives were created to provide a marketing outlet for producers in an era when they generally didn't have a lot of options in marketing their grain.
Over time, they've grown and expanded, and now they compete head-to-head with private grain buyers like Cargill and ADM. Plus, they're much more than just the place where farmers buy seeds and sell grain. Jonathan Holodick of the Center for Rural Affairs in Lyons, Nebraska, says many offer services such as spraying pesticides and applying fertilizer.
They now take care of a host of activities that a farmer used to do on their own. And these cooperatives employ a lot of people.
8,000 people work in Iowa's 49 grain co-ops. Nationwide, the U.S. Department of Agriculture says there are about 2,000 agricultural co-ops. And despite the variety of services co-ops offer, harvest remains a busy season. Central Iowa's Key Co-op has 17 locations, and on this day, trucks are lined up to drop off their loads in Roland. Steve Webb opens a semi-hopper to let soybeans flow into the pit below. Member Brennan Osmondson says selling to the co-op potentially means getting money back. There's a dividend-like return plus possible tax benefits, but you have to be a member. When Congress shook up the tax code, he says suddenly membership applications flooded in from farmers who already sold to Key.
And you'd see some of the names and you'd be like, well, I would have just assumed they were a member because they've been doing business here for so long.
Ultimately, the tax changes could sway some farmers to private elevators that might offer a slightly higher price. But Osmondson's sticking with the co-op.
A lot of times with farmers, we are stubborn, so we kind of do things a certain way, and we don't like to change too many of things.
In some communities, the co-op is the largest employer and the biggest property taxpayer. A co-op that updates or replaces an antiquated elevator can rejuvenate the economy.
Luther, Iowa is a good example. A very small town. We spent $10 million there.
Mike Helland is a Central Iowa farmer who serves on the board of Heartland Co-op.
That's $100,000 a year property tax to the town. So that's a property tax that goes on every year for a long time, as long as that elevator is in use.
Helen says in other places, Heartland has built new elevators or bought out private ones that a company that has to answer to distant shareholders no longer wanted to invest in.
The bottom line is we've spent millions and millions of dollars in rural areas.
Beyond agriculture, co-ops in general are having a moment, both in the United States and abroad. Jacobs, the economist, says at a meeting in Europe this summer, she heard a theory that as people have less trust in markets or government, they turn to what's closer to home. Often, that means co-ops.
People find it easy, I think, to trust a cooperative organization because they recognize that it's being run by people who are them, who are a lot like them.
And that makes members feel less vulnerable and more empowered. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.